Welcome to Q&A with T&K. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hello, welcome to Q&A.
With T&K, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Tiffany.
Today, we're going to define and chit-chat a little bit about loose parts.
Yeah, that's a buzzword.
It is a buzzword, and you may have heard it, or you may not have heard it. If you have children in my program, chances are you have probably seen some of this junk laying around our classroom.
Because, like, what's all this junk in your room? Do you need me to come haul this broken stuff out?
Right. Our outdoor classroom looks like a junkyard. It really does. But there's so many things for the kids in both indoor and outdoor, like to haul around, move to different places, to sort, to carry, to design with, to build, to create. I mean, the opportunities with loose parts are endless. So Tiffany, tell us what is loose parts?
Loose parts are a large quantity of an interesting thing that could be anything.
Right. Examples.
A lot of rocks.
Lava rocks?
A lot of rocks.
A lot of rocks.
Like a lot of little smooth flat rocks.
Okay. Example would be tile samples from the hardware store.
Fabric scraps.
Ooh, I love fabric scraps. Sponges.
They're infinite.
They're so infinite.
This could go on forever. Sticks. Leaves. The trick is there have to be enough. The quantity has to be such that you can use them for a lot of things.
Exactly.
Sometimes. Right. But like cable spools might technically be a loose part.
Cable spools are a loose part. I mean, some of the bigger items maybe you don't need a ton of. I mean, we've got like 10 tires in our outdoor classroom.
Yeah.
Kids use those for lots of things.
Yeah. And the whole point of a loose part is that it's not a toy. It's a toy that's not a toy.
Right. And it's loose, meaning you can move it around.
And loose meaning it could be anything.
Right.
It's not a tire. It's a nest.
Right. It's not a tire. It's a toilet seat.
Yep. It's not a tire. It's a spaceship.
It's not a piece of wood. It's a cell phone.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Well, yeah. And the iPad, too.
Yes.
I got to find my iPad. Like, And it's like it's the perfect, there's one piece of bark that is just the right size. And they all fight over the iPad piece of bark.
Oh, ours is, we have quite a few of them. They are samples from my husband's work. He works at a lumber store or lumber yard. It's like samples from their composite decking. So they're like smooth little chunks of wood. And the kids use them as their tablets. Oh. It's so funny.
That sounds awesome.
So yeah, the whole premise of loose parts is that it's a really good way for children to be creative, to be imaginative, and to create their own learning experiences.
And it forces their brain to think more.
Yes. Let's tell them about the NASA study.
The creativity study?
Yeah.
This study is one of your jams.
I love this study.
So tell the story of this study.
So NASA gives their astronauts, I'm going to pull up the exact statistics, the percentages. NASA gives their astronauts a creativity test to see how creative they are so that when they're out in space and they need to, like, fix something on the fly, like, how creative can you be? And so they decided to give this study to five-year-olds to see how many five-year-olds could pass this study.
The creativity test.
So 98% of these five-year-olds passed.
And how many percentage of the astronaut candidates passed?
Oh, we're not going to go there quite yet.
Oh.
Then they gave the same test, the same group of kids 5 years later when they were 10, 30% passed. Then they gave it to them when they were 15 years old. 12% passed.
Wow.
They have given that test to 280,000 adults at the time of this study, which was in 1993. 2% of adults can pass it.
Whoa.
So it's just going to show that creativity is unlearned throughout your life.
Yeah.
And so that's why it is so important to give children these opportunities through their whole life.
Definitely. Hey, I don't believe in unlearning anymore.
You don't?
No. Because I picture our brain and the neurons in it as growing like roots on a tree.
Yeah.
And it's not that those roots died. It's that like other roots took over more energy and are now so big that the other ones don't matter.
They don't matter.
Yeah.
But if you were able to exercise that a little bit, then it would come back.
I think so.
It's kind of like...
Creativity is practiced, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about when I'm taking guitar lessons, and I went to guitar after having a month off because mm-hmm. I just had a really crazy busy month. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't practice the whole month, and I went into my lesson saying, I did not practice the whole month. He said, okay, let's play the guitar ABCs. So I was like, okay, not... the chord ABCs. So we start with A chord, then go to B, then C, then D. I went to put my hands on the strings for A. It was like crickets. I was like, I looked at him and I'm like, I do not remember at all how to make the A. I said, this is so weird. So he had to show me, and then we had to go to B. Like, he had to show me all of them again. I've been taking lessons for a couple months, and so, like, I knew them all, and I've been using them, and I could play some songs.
But it just disappeared. That month,
it just disappeared. It was gone. Wow. But as soon as we started working on it again, it all came back. It was like riding a bike. It was like it came back within 10 minutes of just trying to use them all again.
Yeah.
So...
I just think that pruning analogy, they talk about like, oh, you know, you unlearn being creative. I think it's not that you unlearn it. It's that your brain puts its resources into different roots.
Right. Yeah. I agree. And I think that that's the same with young children.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting off of like the loose parts thing, but this is important.
No, this all ties in.
Young children, when they are developing some of the roots of their brain,
mm-hmm.
take up more space and need more time than other roots in their brain. And so mm-hmm. some children are really, really devoting themselves to writing their letters, and they're really practicing hard. And they might not be able to balance on a log mm-hmm. worth anything.
Yeah.
Because that's not what their brain is focusing on at that time in their development.
Yes.
And like my son Knox... like, all he wants to write is an O, and that's it. No other letters in his name, not interested. But he can run, like, faster than any five-year-old.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's what the roots in his brain are going for.
Yeah.
Like, he is physical.
Yeah.
He can tackle me.
I believe it.
So, yeah.
So, loose parts inspire... increased creativity.
Exactly. Is what we're trying to say. Exactly. They get those neurons firing.
Yeah.
Or synapses firing. I don't really know about the brain that much.
Yeah. What the neuron is the cell and the synapse.
The synaptic gap.
That was quite a.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but maybe we should find that out.
I don't know either. Loose parts. They often look junky.
Yeah.
Because teachers have, believe me, we've tried to keep them tidy and given up because it's not worth the fight.
Right.
Like, I would rather those kids continuously use those tin cans from my cream of chicken at Costco. Gosh, those are great cans. I want them to be so integrated in the play that they just get beat up into oblivion until we have to like properly put them away and bring new ones out. It usually doesn't look pretty.
It doesn't.
They're usually covered in mud, but it's all play residue.
It is. I love that word, play residue.
Yeah. Who came up with that?
I don't know. But that's what we call it sometimes in the early childhood world.
When you can like look at something and see that it's been played with.
Yeah.
and like maybe see the intent behind it even more.
Yeah. And I think that that's what's so cool about being a preschool teacher is that you can walk through that outdoor classroom and walk past that mud kitchen and see all of the wonderful things. Whereas someone out an outsider looking in might just see dirt and mud and like a grand old mess.
Yeah. And like, ooh, let me come scrub all that stuff for you. Mm-hmm. Nah.
Yeah.
It's going to stay messy.
Right.
I don't want to fight that battle anymore.
Right. And in our program, we don't have a lot of, like, we don't have a lot of actual toys. I mean, we've got, like, cars and dinosaurs and things like that, but we don't have big castle play sets. Mm-hmm. Because we want them to create castle play sets out of the blocks.
Yes.
We want them to use their brain to build that foundation, and that's why we also give children a lot of time. When you have loose parts and you need to construct your castle out of blocks before you can even put the animals in there.
That takes a while.
It does.
And that's why cleaning up, that's why I hate cleaning up outside in particular.
Yeah, we don't ever clean up outside except to put the trikes away.
Yeah. And but it takes so long and so much teamwork.
Yes.
To get everything set up. And I want to get to the nitty-gritty play.
Yeah.
Although the building is part of the play, but, like, it's the beginning. That's the setting up the computer and getting your cup of coffee ready and getting finding the right kind of pen you want to use, not the actual act of writing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, like, sometimes things are messy.
Super messy. And messy's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Bev Boss says everything in a place and every place has a thing. Is that the Bev Boss quote?
Everything in its place and every place in its thing. I don't know.
Everything has a place and every place has a thing. Is that what? I don't know what
it
the quote
is. It sounds like Dr. Seuss.
It does. I don't think that's the real quote. But the idea that, I can't find it. The idea that like everything is neat and tidy and put in the correct spot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes doesn't work out.
It doesn't. And sometimes, like, for us, for cleanup, it's better that they just, like, get it on a shelf.
Yeah. Dump everything that's made of wood into this bin.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is there anything else we want to say with loose parts?
No, I think, I think it's worth, like, parents kind of dissecting their own toy shelves at home.
Yeah.
Your children are going to spend a lot more time, like, engaging in actual imaginative play if they have access to some of these things. You can find, like, loose parts lists all over the place on Pinterest. Yeah,
Pinterest
and whatever.
Is a land of loose parts beauty.
Yes. Also, Tiffany and I have a good friend, actually, who manages our podcast from Explorations Early Learning. His name is Jeff Johnson, and he makes toys. But, like, toys are, they're more loose part style. So you can go to his website. It's eeltoys.com. We have 10% off discount code if you want to use it. It's T-A-N-D-K, all caps for 10% off. eeltoys.com. He's got some really cool things, and it's very worth your time to go and take a look at it. And maybe you're thinking about replacing some of your big commercial plastic toys with some little bits and bobs that they can get a lot more time and creativity energy from.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Kristen. Also, yeah. This is a good time to put your own parent lens aside, because buying things that you wished you had as a kid are not actually buying things for your own child.
But that's really fun to do.
I know it is, but like how but many see, of those toys never get played with?
I don't, like I have bought things that I had as a child just for my own, because right? I want them.
That's a fine reason to buy them.
Like Clue Master Detective game that I found at Goodwill. For $3, and it's in mint condition, like the same one I had when I was little. Like,
there you go.
I buy it for myself, not for my kids.
Yeah.
They want to play it, but I won't let them. Okay, well, you can find me and some show notes and links and things at learningwild.me and on Instagram at learning.wild.
And you can find me at playfrontier.org.
All right, playfrontier.org.
Well, Tiffany?
Well, Kristen.
It's been fun.
We'll see you next time on Q&A.
With T and K.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall. Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Bill and Ted are back.
They stop as soon as we start doing that.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if they're like, was that you? You say something? They're making the joke up there. You say something?
Do birds fart?
Oh, that's a good question. They pee and poop out of the same hole.
Oh.
That's why bird poop is gooey.
Gooey.
It all comes out of one.
I wonder why it's white.
I don't know. I got pooped on by a bird at the last birthday party we went to.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was guy barfing on me because he was sitting on my shoulders.
Oh my gosh.
But it was a bird pooping on me. Yeah, do they fart?
I don't know.
Do fish fart?
I don't know.
If a fish farts in the forest and no one's there to hear it.
Did a fish fart? In the forest? Fishes don't live in the forest.
If a fish farts in the freshwater pond.
And no one is there to hear it, did they actually fart?
Do they make bubbles when they fart?
I'm sure.
I'm sure. Or do they harness all their farts and that's what a swim bladder is?
I don't know, but if you think about it, okay, so fish get their oxygen through their water. So it's not actually air.
Right? But they use that somehow in their fish bladder to go up and down, or in their swim bladder, right? That's how a submarine works? By pumping water in and out of it?
Do fish fart? We're going to look this up. Most fish do use air to inflate and deflate their bladder to maintain buoyancy, which is expelled either through their mouth or gills, which can be mistaken for a fart.
They fart through their mouth?
Being no farts.
Oh.
But yes, no, they fart through their mouth.
I think they were trying to say that they actually fart through their mouth.
Yeah.
I'm definitely telling all the preschoolers that fact as soon as I can.
That's really funny.